More reaction now to our top story, the U.S. airstrike that killed a powerful Iranian general at Baghdad's international airport early today. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo told CNN that President Trump ordered the strike on Qasem Soleimani.
The American people should know that President Trump's decision to remove Qasem Soleimani from the battlefield saved American lives. There's no doubt about that. He was actively plotting in the region to take actions, a big action as he described it, that would have put dozens, if not hundreds, of American lives at risk.
Meanwhile, Iran is promising revenge. Here's Iranian Foreign Minister Mohammad Javad Zarif speaking to the BBC through an interpreter.
The U.S. action is without a doubt an act of state-sponsored terrorism and a violation of Iraq's sovereignty.
Jim Walsh is here with us now. He is here now, security analyst and with MIT's Security Studies program. Jim, it's good to see you on this very important day.
Good to see you, Peter.
Mike Pompeo says the world is safer today, is it?
Not if this tips us towards war. I mean, the U.S. just assassinated a senior military official of a foreign government. Our story does not add up, of imminent attack, does not add up. If someone did that to us, if someone assassinated, you know, the head of CENTCOM or PAYCOM, we'd consider that an act of war. And it's interesting, the language you just quoted from Pompeo, removing Soleimani from the battlefield, as if we're already at war. Congress has not authorized a war. We are not fighting a full-blown war, but that's where we may go with this, and that would make it more dangerous, not less dangerous.
He has been on the radar of the U.S. military for many years now. In fact, I have seen somebody say that he was essentially like killing the vice president of the United States, so a very big deal. But he was also incredibly powerful, coordinating a sphere of influence across the region in places like Syria, Lebanon, in Yemen. Just remind us who this man was and how important he was.
So he's a general head of the Quds Force. Now, on the in Iran's army, Revolutionary Guard, it's mostly aimed at domestic stability. So most of the IRGC is really focused on the Iranian homeland. The Quds Force is rather oriented outside of Iran, beyond Iran's borders. So that means, you know, the Middle East as we know it. And he certainly built a certain reputation for himself. You know, you'd see posters of him in Lebanon and that sort of thing. I mean, the question today among some analysts is, have we created a new martyr? Because while he was hated by some, he was loved by others.
He was undoubtedly responsible for American deaths, right? I mean, is there
no
any
doubt
debate
about it? Particularly 2007, 2008, when we were, you know, 2006, that area when we were in Iraq. No doubt that Iran put agents in that attacked U.S. forces.
So is that a good reason for the strike?
Well, I mean, it's not 2007. It's 2020. The excuse we're giving for it, as I said, doesn't add up. It says, Pompeo says, well, we were facing an imminent strike. And under international law, if someone's just about to pop you, you are able to go in legally and take them out.
Wasn't that his job, though, all along? I mean, it was always his job to find these opportunities.
I would say it doesn't add up for this reason. If you're about to prevent, and again, the key word here is imminent attack, you would attack the unit that would be executing the assault. You wouldn't attack the decision maker who had made the decision. That doesn't do anything to stop the attack. If you have intel about a particular attack, then you go after the attackers. In fact, Pompeo's own language, again, that in that quote, he said, well, you know, he may have been planning an attack that could have killed dozens or hundreds. In other words, he doesn't know.
Right.
This is completely vague and, you know, deeply, if not from a – it's certainly questionable from a policy standpoint. It may be illegal.
Stanley McChrystal, the former general, wrote in Foreign Policy magazine just last year that he had had the chance back in 2007 to take out Soleimani, but he decided against it because of fear, essentially, of what the reaction would be from the Iranians. That fear hasn't necessarily gone away.
No, that's been, you know, throughout the U.S. military, particularly CENTCOM, up until this last commander. I knew Secretary Mattis when he was head of CENTCOM, and I knew his successor. And then he was replaced up until this most recent head of CENTCOM. It was generally the view of the military that it was a bad idea to label the IRGC, a government organization, terrorist group, and to go after and assassinate senior members because we only have 5,000 troops in Iraq. Now they're all exposed. Those whatever we have in Syria, they're all exposed. And so we're the ones who are vulnerable, not Iran, in that situation.
Lay that out. What are the possible options that Iran could take here in retaliation?
Well, I think Iran will – there was an announcement just before I came on air that they've decided what they're going to do. I don't know if that's true or not. I think they'll take their time. They'll choose the moment and the place where they seek their revenge. It could be lots of small things, attacks on U.S. forces. It could be going after a senior U.S. official. But I think there's – I think in the main, they still want to stay below a line that leads to all-out war. But they cannot let this go unanswered. Mm-hmm. No one – there's no country on earth that would just turn the other cheek in the face of this assault.
What about the other country involved here? Iraq? Not as powerful by any stretch of the imagination. Caught in the middle. What's Iran going to ask of Iraq?
It certainly complicates domestic politics in Iraq at a time when it is already in crisis. As you know, the prime minister resigned because of the social protests demanding reform.
Still in office, though.
Yes, but he's essentially a non-player. I noted this morning that Ayatollah Sistani, the senior cleric in Iraq, condemned the attack but asked for restraint. It puts Iraq in a terrible place, right? Iran has helped it to defeat ISIS, and the U.S. has helped it to defeat ISIS. So they have to maintain a bridge to both sides, and this just makes that more difficult.
Meanwhile, the question, of course, is what is the White House going to do, and are they prepared to respond coherently? Look at the change in the turnover that we've seen in this administration recently. Now on its fourth national security advisor, a fifth head of Homeland Security. There's talk even that Secretary Pompeo may be on the way out soon. Does that concern you?
Absolutely. You know, I was in here the other day talking to Robin on New Year's Day.
Yeah.
She asked me a question, well, what most concerns you? And I talked about India, Pakistan. I talked about China. We ended the segment. And then we kept chatting a little bit afterwards. And I said, you know, one thing I didn't mention was the broken U.S. national security process. We're the most powerful country in the world. If we screw things up, we can really do ourselves a lot of harm. And right now we have, as you point out, four national security advisors in 4 years. We purged all the Iran experts out of the National Security Council. And what are we getting? In the summer, President Trump decided not to send a missile strike because he wanted to use restraint. He said restraint was strength. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
And that attack, what we were going to respond to, you know, was pretty significant. And then now we've swung in the opposite direction and taken what I think most analysts would consider very much a large escalatory attack. I think this is what happens when there are no adults in the room.
Well, who has his ear then? Who's he getting advice from?
You know, I don't know. I mean, the Secretary of Defense is not a national security expert and doesn't know anything about Iran. As I said, they purged the Iran experts out of the National Security Council. Certainly the current CENTCOM commander, General McKenzie, would have a large say. But this is not a normal process. And what's a little clue about that? It's pretty obvious there was little or no preparation or coordination. We're not ready for, you know, we carry out the attack and then we say, okay, everyone out of Iraq,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, there's like you're supposed to sort of pull that together at the last minute. We're just sort of bumbling from to, you know, one extreme to the other extreme, back and forth without a strategy. I just think it's, you know, this is adding to the danger, not reducing it.
Well, and it does seem like something of a dangerous game of ping pong, where each side will be hitting the ball back harder with every swing, with every retaliation. How do you de-escalate a situation like that?
Well, that's the key question. I think we need to move to de-escalation. Now, Secretary Pompeo said yesterday, after the strike, he wants to de-escalate. You know, that's sort of like the kid who walks on the playground and pops someone in the mouth and says, no more fighting.
That seems very hard to do at this point.
And ironically, you'll remember that just a day ago, I think it was, the protesters who had, you know, I think it was mostly political theater if you look at the video, but who had, you know, roughed up the embassy guard tower, they all withdrew. They were asked by the militias to withdraw, and they withdrew. So that was sort of a sign of de-escalation. And now with that settled, bang, we're back up, you know, seven stages.
I guess you could safely say that any negotiations on the Iranian nuclear agreement are probably now out the window.
Oh,
any
God.
Negotiations whatsoever.
Yeah,
for a
I
while.
Mean, it's so ironic. You'll remember, so at the UN in September, President Trump tried to arrange a handshake yeah. with Rouhani. That is off the table for the foreseeable future.
Jim, I'm sure we'll have you back soon. Jim Walsh here, now security analyst. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.